Podcast. Black or gold bits. Podcast. Black or gold podcast.
Black or gold podcast, episode 37, and it's a sad one. Jacoby, Vent, joining you, wearing nothing but black, as usual. It's where the That's Racist Kid gift goes up. Jacoby, how you handling it?
It's a day-by-day process, but I think with our next opponent, we might get our spirits back up so that we may wipe the tear-caked mascara from our eyes and start to appreciate the world for how beautiful it is.
I'm sorry, did you just say cake?
Oh, I want some cake.
I want some cake. Cake sounds good.
Wait, what do you want more? Cake the food or cake the band?
I could have both. I have them on my iTunes. Instead, I'll have this gin that I have in front of me right now. It's quite lovely. Iowa lost this week. The dream is over. God save the queen. But, you know, as Adam said, we have a chance of picking up our spirits ever so slightly this week, because the Ball State Fighting Football Cardinals, the alma mater of David Letterman, are coming to town. And oddly enough, for a usual MacTastic cupcake, there is a fantastic, and I repeat fantastic, Ball State blog over the pylon, and we're lucky to be joined by the one, the only Alan Rucker from Over the Pylon. Alan, how you doing tonight?
I am well. I'm well for the next couple of days, at least, before our Midwestern curb stomping occurs on Saturday. So I'm enjoying this good feeling, this nice warm and fuzzy feeling, until the murderous rage takes over on Saturday afternoon.
Well, at least you can find the murderous rage. Now, will that be murderous rage toward Iowa, or would that be murderous rage toward your own players?
I think just life in general at that point. there's enough murderous rage to go around. The nice thing is that, you know, we have a game watch here in Washington, D.C. for the Alumni Association, so the two of us that show up will have lots of fun. But
the Ball State Alumni Association in D.C. has to be just expansive as hell.
It's true. Papa John has never shown up, very displeased about this. But, you know, it's funny because we went to a game watch last week here in D.C., and there were more Purdue people there. Purdue actually crashed the Ball State game watch, which as if I didn't hate Purdue enough to begin with. You know, clearly you're the favorite. Like, you know, you're going to win most likely. And you've taken upon yourself and your eight douche fluffle fans to come in there and talk crap to us in the middle of a bar in D.C. when you're playing a MAC school. Like, to me, that's just totally classless and not surprising because it's Purdue. But,
right, yeah. Okay. That's the one victory Purdue's going to have on this season. They'll be like, well, we went 1-7 in the Big Ten again, but we totally stuck it to those Ball State guys in D.C.
You know, I'm curious when they fire Danny Hope, which will happen, I'm sure. Not this year, maybe next year. But, you know, is a bullet point on the job description sort of like, you know, degree in coaching required, college football experience, push broom mustache? You know, are they required there to have it? Because it is, it's frustrating, I would think. Like, you can't eat ice cream. Soup is probably very challenging. So, yeah.
Okay, so clearly you hate Purdue.
Yeah, not as much as IU, but Purdue's up there. They're like 1A and 1B.
Okay, now, see, I don't know how much you've been following along with conference expansion, but Iowa has been paired with Purdue as our protected rivalry game from the upstate division.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't even know where Purdue's located, to be completely honest with you.
I think it's located in Purdue, Indiana.
Actually, West Lafayette.
Oh.
Bullshit.
I kid you not. Maybe they have done the, you know, the douchetacular move of naming like their campus its own separate city, which they may have done, which wouldn't shock me. But they're actually in West Lafayette, and yeah, it's if you ever get a chance to visit, where we'll say to the Iowa fans, on those road games, if you ever get a chance to visit West Lafayette, go ahead and pass, because you're not missing anything. You can go to any city in Iowa, and it's probably the exact same thing. Because as I'm learning here from my East Coast friends, apparently there's the state of New York and one giant farm and then California. So apparently we're all the same in the Midwest.
Well, we've known that for years here in Iowa, where we grow potatoes and we do the OHIO cheer.
Indeed. Yeah. You know, it's funny. The state schools, theoretically, we should hate Notre Dame, just because they're very elitist and wealthy and they play football well, unlike us. Surprisingly enough, though, a lot of Ball State fans don't really mind Notre Dame.
Is it because you never play each other?
Probably. I think, you know, some of us got a case of the red ass when it was an option for the Motor City Bowl a couple of years ago to pick up Ball State and then take Notre Dame to kind of have this really interesting sort of us versus them mentality. But Notre Dame turned it down because apparently the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl is a little below their level, I guess. When, you know, the Ball State fans would literally collectively circle jerk on McKinley Avenue if we got to the Motor City Bowl, so.
Now,
I kind of hope doesn't happen, because that's going to be a giant mess to clean up.
Right. Who's going to clean that up? Because it's cum. No one wants to clean cum.
Yeah, I don't know if we have, like, a mop boy on staff, but I'm sure that with enough angry words and tweeting, I'm sure Whitlock will figure it out.
And I know to tell my mom to not listen to this podcast. So
yeah, we've covered a lot of ground in the first like minute and a half.
So hey, we've done good work, folks. Let's talk a little bit of football before we get derailed again, and we will. It's only a matter of time. Ball State is 1-2 this year with a win at home versus Southeast Missouri State, the always tough. I want to say Red Hawks, Warriors.
Yep, Red Hawks.
Are they Red Hawks? Yes.
Oh, Red Hawks.
Boom. Deal with that 1AA mascot sporkle right. game.
I could have sworn they were the Bears. Could have sworn.
No, that's Missouri State.
They're the Redhawks. They were not. They were not code Argyle for our preseason worry. They were. They were definitely code blue.
No, Jacoby. That was Southwest Missouri State, who is now just Missouri State.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. And then I'm going to go ahead and say just an embarrassing loss to the Liberty Flames.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Ball State is that we have been known to shat the bed on occasion. And I know, it happens. But, you know, Liberty, for whatever reason, we don't schedule the 1AA shitbags. We schedule, like, the top 10 FCS schools. And as you guys probably know, as we've seen this year, especially with FCS, you know, a really good FCS team is equatable to a good non-AQ school in the FBS. You know, Liberty, I think, would be competitive in the MAC, but at the same point, you know, you got to win those games. You have to, or you need to not schedule these teams that have a potential of being good or at least being competitive. You know, they're not the pushovers that a lot of these FCS schools are that have, you know, borrowed pads and mismatched shoes and, you know, miscolored socks. I mean, you know, Liberty is a team that they have the money of an FBS program, and a good FBS program at that, because, you know, they don't take their beatings from these big schools because they don't need the money. So they're able to recruit well. They have a good recruiting base in Virginia, but most of their team is New Jersey, New York, Florida. You know, they have a pretty good talent pool, but again, it is an FCS school. But an FCS program that has a 31,000-seat football stadium is not bad. But even in that game, that was a game we should have won. It was a game we had won. You know, our freshman quarterback came in, played really well. He's a borderline Nate Davis type, I hope, without the learning disability. And, you know, at that point, when he's down a point or two, and he throws a beautiful pass, receiver hits it in stride on the 5-yard line, could have walked into the end zone, and then just decides, I'm just going to drop this because, you know, a lot more fun this way. So, I mean, it's infuriating, but at the same point, like, you know, when you have a young team and you play a good team, this kind of stuff happens. And it happened to us last year as well with New Hampshire.
And New Hampshire's also a very quality 1AA program. You're right about that. There's no denying mm-hmm. that fact. Ball State is 2 years. Is it 2 years removed from the Nate Davis year?
It is. That was our undefeated regular season until we fumbled the game away in the MAC championship. So.
Yeah, that was one of the most just debilitating losses I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That game especially was soul killing on a lot of different levels. Is you know, we had
I hate
some
to bring it up again, by the way.
No, it's really totally fine. The scab's healed at this point to where it's not going to bleed quite so bad. You know, we had people over at our house and big game watch. Hey, this is awesome. We're going to be 13-0 after this game. Won our first title in a while. And this guy that one of our friends brought that has no idea about football, I'm sitting there, I'm stewing at this point. It's the third quarter. I'm on about my, you know, sixth Woodford Reserve. And this guy looks at me and goes, "God, your quarterback really sucks." I was like, "I'm going to rip your head off and shit down your neck unless you get the fuck out of my house immediately." And he totally left because he took his 5'5", 110-pound body out before I ate him whole.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's frustrating, to be honest. That season was 2 years removed. We lost basically everyone in terms of, you know, we lost four-year starters on the offensive line. We lost our best wide receiver. We lost our quarterback. And in the MAC, you know, it's not like we reload. You know, we don't have the ability of a good Big Ten program or, you know, a good SEC program to where, you know, when your all-conference quarterback leaves, the guy on the second string is just going to step right in and pick right up where he left off. You know, when you have a freshman quarterback and, you know, three freshmen on the O-line and you have just talent but no experience, that's just a recipe for disaster. And it certainly was last year as we clocked in with a earth-shaking 2-10.
Yeah. The 2-10, though, I mean, to be fair, yeah, you beat Eastern Michigan, who's just genuinely awful, and Western Michigan wasn't great last year. But they were – Ball State was disturbingly close in pretty much every game, even though they just couldn't pull it out at the end. It was a classic early, you know, young team, you just couldn't get over the hump thing.
You know, we just had fluke luck. I mean, everything that went our way the year before didn't go our way the next year. And I think it's interesting because, you know, we go through games where we had just injury after injury after injury. I mean, I think we had a case of stigmata breakout after, you know, the fifth game. I mean, it's, you know, that kind of stuff happened. Fluke things like, you know, Stan, our coach, goes for two against Toledo because he wants to get a win. So we're up one. We make the two-point conversion. There's like 30 seconds left. And Toledo hits an 80-yard touchdown pass to win the game. Like, that kind of stuff, you just – the odds are it's not all going to go against you, but it certainly did. And, you know, the only nice thing about last year was as we're mired in a 1-10 awfulness, we did get to piss all over Western Michigan's parade and keep them out of a bowl. So I feel like, you know, if we're not going to have a good season – clearly, I wouldn't know what else to have a good season either. So, you know, the fact that we kept the MAC from getting even more money and dispersing, that's a little feather in our cap, I think. So now we can be financially screwed just as we were before. So, you know, go us.
Well, you're in the right crowd if you want to talk about a Western Michigan game screwing a team out of a bowl, as they've done as to Iowa on multiple occasions, especially in 2007. So, you know, payback's a bitch. I'm totally down with you guys on that.
Indeed.
How's the rest of the season looking for Ball State? I mean, clearly this is going to be a bit of a struggle this week, but you know, the MAC seems relatively wide open this year. Does Ball State have the guns to maybe compete, or at least, you know,
I think we do. I think the interesting thing about it is, you know, the years that we were really successful in the MAC in terms of, you know, the 2008 season, the 2007 season, it's when we played the games away. It's when we played games at Nebraska. It's when we played games at Michigan. It's when we got ourselves in a situation where, yeah, you know, going to the Big House or going to Nebraska is intimidating. Then when you go to Mount Pleasant, it's not. So, you know, we have the talent to compete, but, you know, the MAC is one of those conferences where you really never know what's waiting for you. You know, nobody expected Ball State to go undefeated. They picked us third or fourth in the MAC West, and then we bust out a 12-0 season. So, you know, you really never really know what the MAC is about. I think we have the potential to do it because, truthfully, outside of Temple, there is not a team in the MAC that I think is – head and shoulders above everybody else. I mean, you know, Buffalo is capable of winning the East. Ohio is capable of winning the East. In the West, it's a total shit show in terms of who's going to win. Western Michigan could, but they're notorious for doing less with more. You know, Northern Illinois probably is the odds-on favorite, I think, to win the West. But, you know, Central Michigan we have right out of the gate. You'll know exactly how well we'll do in the MAC for the first MAC game that we play. Central, they're normally our last game. If we beat Central Michigan, then I think the road is pretty good, and it sets up sort of a conference title game de facto for the MAC West when we play Northern Illinois. So, you know, do I think we can compete? I do. I think we have the talent to, but, you know, now we're getting into some weird things where, you know, the strength of our team that we expected to be far better was the offensive line. Now we have a guy go down an ACL injury. We have another guy gets arrested on 4 in the morning on Sunday after he decided to punch out somebody at a campus bar, which – clearly, you know, that's the thing to do in Muncie when you're starting offensive lineman. So, you know, now we're dealing with that. And So, you know, if that kind of stuff and the injury bug doesn't bite our ass like it did last year and our freshman quarterback doesn't ever play like a freshman, then I think we have a shot to win the conference. But truthfully, if we can just eke out a 6-6 year, I'm thrilled with that.
So, okay, we spoiler alert, people, but I was on OTP's podcast over on their site, which we'll be linking to, readers, listeners. You can go check that out. But we were talking about things that Ball State or that Iowa needed to focus on, and Ball State vice versa. And one of the things we mentioned was Iowa's offensive line struggling a little bit. Now, as far as Ball State's defensive line, are they going to be able to put the pressure on Stanzi and Robinson, or is it just Robert Eddins and three turnstiles?
No, you know, it's funny. The defensive line at Ball State, again, they look great in the MAC. So, you know, I don't necessarily – but they put pressure on Marv. I mean, at Purdue. So true. I think they are very capable. So when you look at guys like, you know, Renee Perry, Robert Eddins, Andrew Putoff up front – you know, we had the story last year of Brandon Crawford, the 35-year-old former Marine who was a defensive end that sort of led that defensive unit. But what you've seen with Ball State, you know, last year the defense looked awful, god-awful, as a matter of fact. But it was also the first year in a 4-3 rather than a 3-4, which, you know, every game and every year that you play in a new system, you get a little more familiar with it. The key to the defense for us will be the linebackers. When you have guys like David Jones, Travis Freeman, you know, those guys are capable of putting pressure up front. But the problem that we're going to run into is, you know, when Stan sends those linebackers in, then you have a big hole in the middle of the field that is, you know, relied on for our safety to cover. Fortunately, our safety is a very talented young man, so that's good. But, you know, the defensive line is not necessarily a huge strong suit for us. I don't think we do it via pressure. I think we try to do it via coverage. You know, things that we struggle with are quarterbacks that are very athletic, quarterbacks that move that pocket, quarterbacks that are capable of kind of getting out of trouble. From the few times I've watched Iowa, Stanzi doesn't seem like that sort of quarterback. You know, Denard Robinson would shred us for probably 8 billion yards. You know, he might. Our only hope is that he would die of exhaustion in the third quarter. So, you know, it's one of those things where our defense is not necessarily a shutdown type defense. It's not a full pressure defense, but they are capable of making big plays when needed, and I think that will be the key to this game, for us at least.
Now, your quarterback is, you mentioned a freshman, Keith Winning.
Mm-hmm.
I not being a real adamant follower of Ball State, he didn't play week one?
He did not play week one, I don't think. He took a couple of snaps here and there. But I tell you, he started from minute one at Purdue.
Okay.
So he's got that experience of being in that. If he had never played before or had only played against the FCS teams and then we threw him on the road at Iowa right off the bat, then that would worry the hell out of me.
You'd be holding a funeral for him.
Absolutely. You know, Winning has been – but Winning is a guy that is very, very talented. You know, he hasn't shown any kind of freshman problems. I mean, he's made a couple mistakes, but a lot of the balls that – you know, he's had not go his way or not necessarily his fault. Things that have hit guys in the hands and just bounced off or deflected passes and things like that. So, you know, for a freshman, he may be the next sort of great Mac phenom, which ultimately worked for us with Nate Davis. You know, when we put Nate Davis in as a freshman, basically folks said, hey, let this kid take his lumps now and learn when we suck. And it kind of advances from there. And I think Winning has that kind of talent. So then it's eerily similar, to be truthful. If we caught you guys in a couple of years, then that would be super. You know, for us, when Nate first started, before he kind of lit the Mac on fire, he was going behind a mostly sophomore offensive line. He was a freshman and kind of learned his bumps. Then by the time he hit his junior season, his offensive line was all seniors. They played together for years. They knew what it was about. He knew the offense well. And that's when we kind of flourished. It's kind of how the MAC works. I mean, you win for a year, suck for a couple. Win for a year, suck for a couple. It's sort of like the SEC in probation. So, you know, it's...
But
Winning is very capable. The thing that I think Winning will struggle with is he has not necessarily seen the talent of an entire defense the way he'll see this weekend. You know, he saw Kerrigan this past week at Purdue, but Kerrigan was constantly double-teamed. It didn't create a lot of problems up front for us. So we've been able to kind of hold guys at bay, which is nice. You know, the offensive line is not a blue chip offensive line, but it's not a porous sort of problem offensive line. So,
I like how you continue to subliminally attack our most hated rival, Purdue.
I do what I can. It's one of those things that, you know, like the Purdue game, and I don't know if you guys watched it or not, but the Purdue game, we were in. I mean, that was a game that we easily could have won.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, we miss an extra point, two field goals, and we have a very fluke touchdown that, you know, our guy jumps for the interception, bounces off his hands, hits a Purdue receiver in stride as he runs untouched 75 yards for a touchdown. So, you know, those four plays don't go the way they go, and that game's a win for us. So, you know, with Iowa, it's a little bit different. I think, you know, I don't expect, you know, the same Iowa experience we had 4, 5, 6 years ago, where we just got absolutely decimated. But at the same point, it's got to be a damn near perfect game for us, and Iowa's got to make some mistakes. If that happens, then I think we have a chance. But that's a big if, and a mighty, mighty big if at that.
If you stayed up late to watch the Iowa game in Arizona, it's not that big an if that Iowa makes a ton of mistakes. But
that's the thing. I mean, it's got to be a we have to bring our A game. Iowa's got to bring their C minus D plus game, and even then, it's probably a toss up. So, you know, if both teams play to potential, it's a 20-25 point game probably.
Now you mentioned that you finish every season, or you typically finish your season with Central Michigan. Is that kind of a built-in rivalry, or is that just the way it
works? Yeah, the last couple of years, for whatever reason, the MAC changes their scheduling a little bit. You know, we normally end with Central and Western. Western's usually our last game.
Western. You did say that. I'm sorry.
I don't think it's a built-in rivalry. I think, you know, a few years ago, the MAC is funny. They always try to put the big games toward the end of the year when they're actually going to mean something, because that's when we have the Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday afternoon games on ESPN. So, you know, Western at the time had Tim Hiller. They were kind of predicted to be the Cinderella in the MAC, and then Michigan proceeded to violate them the first game of the season. So I would say we don't really have a true rival in the MAC. It's, you know, part of that comes from the games like Miami, when they were really good, we weren't. So that's kind of geographically our closest rival. Miami of Ohio is only probably 35 minutes from Ball State. So, but again, they're much better at football. When they were really good, we were really awful. And now that we're okay, they suck something fierce. So there's that. Northern Illinois, we have a traveling trophy, a bronze cornstalk. So,
oh, that's awesome!
Really?
Absolutely.
The entire stock, or like how big? Explain this to me, because I've never even heard of this.
The bronze stock game, clearly it's not NCAA football, which I'm really pissed about. Like, clearly it's not in the game. Hello. So there's that, but it's a traveling trophy about, probably 3 or 4 feet high that has a big bronze cornstalk.
Alan, I put Northern Illinois Ball State Trophy into Google Image Search.
Uh-huh.
And it is the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th image that comes up. And the guys who are holding it are wearing what appear to be hunting caps.
That doesn't shock me, to be honest.
And by the way, it's like three behind some woman who's just showing her ass.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
And this particular moment is why the internet was made.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
I feel like every internet moment that I've had was simply build up for this.
Well, that sound you heard right there was about 18 listeners Googling Northern Illinois Ball State Trophy.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, and every moment after this will just be let down. So.
Exactly.
Wait. That chick's married. Look, she's wearing a wedding ring.
Wearing a wedding ring, yeah.
That's actually the newest De Beers ad. So,
well played, De Beers.
By the way, if you zoom in on it on the Google image search to see what the context was, it is, I'm taking Ball State and giving the points. So, clearly,
it's been
a little while.
Because when I give gambling advice, I like to see diamond rings and phones. They go together like lamb and tuna fish.
So. All right, so you said that you know, Ball State A game, Iowa State C, or excuse me, Iowa State, Jesus, Iowa State is a C minus game. Iowa C minus game puts Ball State in play. What in particular is it that Iowa should be looking for? I mean, what is the danger scenario for us, or the best possible scenario for you guys?
the best possible scenario for us, truthfully, is if Quayle Lewis decides to finally break out of his funk. You know, for whatever reason, you know, we said last year that when you go from, you know, 1,000-plus yard seasons to not so good, something's going on. Either you're not feeling it, or, as we thought, the offensive line was just so awful, it's hard to run for 1,000 yards when you have no hole to run through. But, you know, Quayle is a very talented back. He's very small. He's very shifty. You know, he's kind of a weird quirk back that's very small and tiny and shifty, but he also loves contact. He's not one of these guys that avoids contact. I mean, he is a between-the-tackles guy. But the interesting thing about our running attack is that literally we have a running back for every kind of style, and I think that's the really challenging thing when people are trying to pregame for Ball State. You know, we have, you know, a guy like Quayle Lewis who is a between-the-tackle contact guy. We have a guy that, and Corey Sykes, who is a little dinged up, may not even go this weekend, but Sykes is probably the fastest guy on our team, maybe the fastest guy in the MAC. So he's very much a hit-the-corner-and-go kind of guy, tosses, sweeps, those kinds of things that create a lot of problems. Then we have Eric Williams, who is a young guy, he's a sophomore, kind of a hybrid between the two, super quick, but also runs between the tackles. Eric has a bit of fumbleitis, or he had a bit of fumbleitis, as I guess some freshmen do sometimes.
Yeah.
So there's that. I think that would be point. That has to happen for us to be competitive, is we have to have some sort of rushing game to keep the defense honest, and maybe begin to stretch up and sneak up, try to stop that run. You know, if they are able to contain our run with, you know, seven guys in the box, six guys in the box, and then at that point there's no passing lanes for us, we have good coverage downfield, and that creates a lot of chaos. So the run has got to get going. But additionally, to open that up, we've got to begin to find a deep threat. You know, right now, the passing game for State has been pretty limited in terms of a lot of curls, a lot of slants, a lot of short routes, probably because Keith Winning is so new to the offense and new to the game, they don't want him to be taking a lot of chances downfield. Having said that, he's very capable of doing that. So if we ever find a deep threat in this game, you know, and our receivers that are very talented, like Briggs Orsbon and Dan Ift, can get themselves free, then at that point it's going to be a game, I hope. But again, we can't have the problems that have sort of haunted us in some of our games this year. The drop passes, the fumbles, not blocking, not protecting, you know, not getting Quayle off to a good start. You know, those kinds of things, if they begin to reappear in this game, it's going to be a long day, a super long day for Ball State. Again, all those dominoes have got to fall just right for us to even be competitive, but they're not so, you know, they're not such big hurdles that they're unreachable. So there is a small bit of hope, I think.
So. Could you do us a favor and spell Dan Ift's last name?
IFFT.
I'd like to buy a vowel.
That's right.
What? Where is that from? What's the etymology on that? Because I've never seen anything that even resembles that before.
Yeah, I think he's a mix of Norse and Samoan.
Oh.
I'm totally kidding. I have no idea.
hey,
you got my hopes up.
A Samoan mix is our bag. Okay, Paki O'Meara takes a back seat to nobody.
Indeed. So I'm
Samoan, yeah. Irish.
I think that's the problem. We have no Samoans on our team. I figured
exactly
it out.
The problem. That's exactly your problem. You need to start recruiting Hawaii and the Polynesian area.
I'm not sure that we have enough frequent flyer miles to be able to afford out to fly to Hawaii. So.
Hey, Kirk Ferentz alone is playing for a little while. It's okay.
You know, you would think. I mean, I would assume between, you know, guys like Dave Letterman and John Schnatter and Jason Whitlock and those folks, you know, that we would have some money coming into the football program. But, you know, that's the bigger issue with Ball State is clearly we're on a kind of a shoestring budget out here.
You do have an impressive alumni base. I got to say that back in, I think it was 2000, Iowa had the longest losing streak in Division I heading into, I think it was the Michigan State game. And they beat Michigan State, at which point Ball State took that over.
Indeed.
And me being a big Letterman fan and a big Iowa fan, I immediately had to email Letterman thinking I would get on a viewer mail that congratulations to Ball State for taking over the longest losing streak from my team. And I did not get on viewer mail, but I did get an email back from somebody who said congratulations on supporting such a loser.
You know, it's funny. When Letterman doesn't come back a lot, he was on campus a couple of weeks ago with the founder of Twitter, I guess, for some reason. Letterman doesn't really come back to games. He doesn't really support the athletic programs much. Supports the school fantastically well. But, you know, when we were on the losing streak, which was when I was an undergrad, it was awful. I mean, we were a running joke on Letterman, which I guess was funny at the time. And then we went undefeated. We were on Letterman every week. So kind of the best of both worlds there, I guess. But, you know, from my freshman year to my junior year, I think we won two games. And that's awful. Like, that's piss poor. But then again, in true Ball State fashion, Toledo from the MAC finally gets ranked, and we beat their ass on homecoming. So, again, like, when we have awful years, the teams that are really good and, like, need that victory, we totally shit on them. So be lucky that you're not, like, playing us the last game of the season where you're the number two team in the BCS. All you got to do is win, and you go to the national championship, because we probably beat you at that point, because that's what we do.
You and Pitt.
Yeah, we are dream crushers. So we're kind of like the Harry Potter Dementors. We feed on other people's happiness.
Well,
so.
I got to say that the Ball State Fighting Football Cardinal highlights was actually incredibly funny. It was kind of a running joke against your school, and I feel bad about it, but it was actually kind of funny.
Yeah, we got to – I mean, the fact that when we have our fraternity house there at Ball State is the closest one to campus, and when we're sitting in our foyer one day just kind of hanging out, and Biff Henderson and the camera crew walk in, we're like, this doesn't happen every day. But it's surprising because our fraternity actually cut Dave Letterman. So, yeah, if I ever build a DeLorean, I'm going back to that day and being like, just so you know, this guy, you may want to keep him. Like, he's going to be something.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Maybe your fraternity is sort of like the freshman basketball coach in Michael Jordan's history. Like, if your frat doesn't cut David Letterman, do you think he'll still be successful? Or were you the? Yeah, I think you need to be proud of cutting him. You're like,
I think we were the impetus. I mean,
yeah,
it's true.
You can't go back in time, too. I mean, you're just opening up all kinds of problems. You could come back and find out that Ball State is, in fact, the greatest football team in the history of the world, and we never had that humor.
It's true. It's sort of like the butterfly effect. I mean, granted, maybe I killed the universe, or we win the Orange Bowl. Who knows? I don't know.
And now we're on to our most famous alumni.
Is he an alumni?
A former attendee.
Right.
Say that, yeah.
Which puts him on the same level as Tom Brokaw, for what it's worth.
Yeah, basically. And that alone is Ashton Kutcher like Tom Brokaw.
Also, Tom Brokaw sodomized Demi Moore once.
Whoa.
I'm guessing, but I think it's a pretty safe guess.
And I can totally check off my sodomize in a bingo card for this podcast, so sweet. I am one word away from four corners.
We're not letting you have it. We're going to call it a night.
if someone goes soggy biscuit, I win. So,
Jacoby, would you like to?
The honor's all yours, sir.
No, I'm not letting him have it. No.
No. Well, wait. How much money do you stand to win?
Well, it's funny. There is no money. It's just for fun.
Oh, well, then fuck you.
We play for the love of inappropriate humor.
The Muncie Old Folks Home does this every week with the Black Heart Gold podcast.
I would hope so.
Old folks homes around the country do this. We've heard about it.
It is sweeping the nation.
We're just lying.
Yes, as if we never did before. Perhaps you didn't listen to last week's podcast where we had a guy from our comment board talking about Arizona. Anyway, we want to thank Alan for being on because he's an excellent writer, an excellent podcaster and really bring something to the table for the lovely Ball State Fighting Football Cardinals. Thanks, bud.
You're welcome, guys. Good luck this Saturday. And really, truthfully, I just hope we don't injure any more of your players. That would just suck.
So. You know what? I'm completely serious about this. That terrifies the hell out of me because we can't lose anybody else at this point.
Well, it does me too. I mean, truthfully, the injuries in a Big Ten game, we were fortunate to get out kind of minorly dinged at Purdue, but nothing major. Shorter Cam Lowry, the offensive lineman. But I am – the beating at this point is not what I'm worried about because, again, you sort of – the first step is acceptance. So But the thing that I'm worried about is that, you know, someone is going to get broken in half, or someone's spleen is going to explode, or I don't know. I'm significantly concerned.
If that's going to happen, it's going to happen to one of our running backs.
Well, God does hate Iowa ACLs, clearly.
Yes, exactly. Well, we want to remind our readers they can catch it over thepylon.net, and they can catch Jacoby on your podcast, the OTP podcast, also on iTunes. Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome, guys. Thank you.